إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، وما بعد. فالحمد لله على ما من به من تكرار هذه المجالس المباركة، فعلى بركة الله نكمل القراءة من شرح رياض الصالحين. نعم.
الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى بينما يستمع بعض الخطبة حاجة وسؤال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يستمع إلى his speeches with whereby he said verily all praise is due to Allah, we praise him, we seek his assistance, we seek his forgiveness, we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our own selves and the evil recompense of our bad actions, whomsoever Allah guides no one can cause to go astray or misguide, and whomsoever Allah leads to go or deems to go astray or decrees to go astray none can guide. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a servant and messenger. And then the Shaykh hafizahullah ta'ala proceeded to thank Allah azza wa jalla for allowing us to come together in continuation of these blessed gatherings wherein we are studying the book Riyad al-Salihin.
No.
Bismillah alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. يقول المصنف أبو زكريا يحيى بن شرف النووي رحمه الله تعالى وغفر الله له ولشيخنا وللحاضرين والمستمعين جميعا في كتابه رياض الصالحين باب الوعظ والاقتصاد فيه. قال الله تعالى ادعوا إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة.
ادعوا
إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة. وعن أبي وائل
الدعوة شأنها عظيم.
The Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala stated that this affair of da'wa or calling to the religion, it's a fair, it's a very great affair.
وهي أحسن قول.
And it is the best of speeches.
ومن أحسن ممن دعا إلى الله.
As Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala states, who is better than the one who calls to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala?
وتلاحظ دعا إلى الله يدعو إلى الله سبيل ربك، هذا كله تحديد القصد إلى من تدعو، أنت تدعو إلى الله لا إلى غير الله.
الشيخ عبد الله تعالى stated that in this verse is the statement, the meaning of that the individual he calls to Allah سبحانه وتعالى on the path of Allah سبحانه وتعالى, and this is a reminder that the individual's intent is that he is calling to Allah سبحانه وتعالى, and it is the reminder of sincerity or إخلاص.
ومن هذا يتضح أهمية التوحيد والإخلاص.
And from this, what is derived from this is the importance of التوحيد, the oneness of Allah سبحانه وتعالى, and having إخلاص or sincerity, making all forms of worship strictly for Allah سبحانه وتعالى.
لأنك تدعو إلى الله.
Why? Because you call to Allah.
لا جماعة, لا حزب, لا تنظيم. أنت تدعو إلى الله, دين الله.
You call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't call to a group or a hizb, a party or anything of the like, or a sect.
الأحزاب والتنظيمات والفرق لها حكمها الضيق.
These groups and organizations and parties, there, the Shaykh Habib Allah ta'ala stated that the ruling with regards to them is a ضيق and one of constriction or restriction.
أما الدعوة إلى الله, دعوة إلى الإسلام, أنت تدعو إلى دين الله رحمة للعالمين.
But calling to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is calling to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mercy of the Lord of all worlds.
ولذلك لما ذكر الله الأحزاب ذكرها على وجه الذم, كل حزب بما لديهم فريحون.
And the Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala is reminding us that in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this word of ahzab, which can be translated as to parties or sects, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned them from the standpoint of disparaging them.
إذن عندنا دعوة.
So we have da'wah, calling to the religion.
إلى سبيل ربك.
Upon the path of your Lord, calling to the path of your Lord.
بالحكمة.
With wisdom.
وموعظة.
And a maw'idah, an admonishment or advising.
وحسنة.
أن الموعظة should be حسنة, the best man or good man.
يعني هذه الآية أتى فيها ذكر خمسة معالم.
And the Shaykh Rabbi Ta'ala stated that in this verse there are five signposts that we need to pay attention to.
ما هي الحكمة؟
And the Shaykh Rabbi Ta'ala is asking the question, what is this hikmah? What is this wisdom?
الحكمة هي وضع الشيء في موضعه.
And the definition of hikmah or wisdom is that you place things in their proper places.
ولا تستطيع أن تقول اللين حكمة أو الشدة حكمة. إنما الحكمة وضع الشيء في موضعه. فتارة مارس النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اللين كالرجل الذي بال في المسجد فأخذه, ومارس أحيانا الشدة كالرجل الذي لبس الخاتم الذهب ثم مد يده إليه ونزع الخاتم. أيعمد أحدكم أن يجعل في يده جمرة من نار؟ إذن الحكمة وضع الشيء في موضعه.
And the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala stated that the person cannot say that leniency or severity is wisdom in the absolute sense. Rather, in the time of leniency, when one is lean, this is wisdom. And the example of this is when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with the Bedouin man who urinated in the masjid. And severity, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was harsh when the situation deemed him to be harsh, like the man who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pulled off the ring, the gold ring that the man was wearing, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Is it a situation where one of you intentionally puts a coal, a burning coal from the coal of the hellfire, on his hand?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took off this individual's ring. So the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala stated that the definition of wisdom is putting things in their proper places. So the situation that deems lenient, one is lenient. The situation that deems harshness, one is harsh.
بالموعظة الحسنة.
And this good admonishment, or the best admonishment, or advising,
ليس فقط موعظة بل موعظة حسنة.
It's not just simply admonishing or advising, rather it is admonishing or advising in the best possible manner.
ما هي الموعظة؟
And the Shaykh Rabbi Ta'ala is asking the question, what is this موعظة, or this admonition, or advising?
الموعظة قد وصفها الصحابي من حديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عندما قال وعظنا رسول الله موعظة بليغة ذرفت منها العيون ووجلت منها القلوب. إذن الموعظة هي ما يوعظ به الموعوظ من ما من واعظ. إذن موعظة وموعوظ وواعظ كلها معناها النصح بالإشفاق وترقيق القلب.
And the Shaykh Habibullah Allah Ta'ala stated that what is meant by this maw'idat al-hasana, or the best possible admonishing or advising, and the best example is the hadith of Irbad ibn Sariyah, where he described, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam admonished us or advised us, and it was bareed, it was a very touching admonishment, so much so that our eyes teared from what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying, and that the hearts feared from what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying. And the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala stated that in this hadith you have the mu'idah, the admonishment that is being given, or the advice that is being given. You have the person who is giving this admonishment or giving this advice, and you have the person who is being admonished or the person who is being advised. And the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala stated that this mu'idah to the hasanah is when the person advises with ishfaq, having compassion for the person that he is advising.
فكما أن هناك موعظة حسنة فهناك موعظة غير حسنة.
And the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala stated that as we see that there is a good or the best possible admonishment, likewise there is an admonishment that is not good, it is a bad admonishment.
ما هي الموعظة الغير حسنة؟
And what is that admonishment that is not the best admonishment, or that is not the good admonishment?
هي اللين في موضع الشدة والشدة في موضع اللين.
That admonishment or advising that is not good is when the individual is lenient in a situation that deems him to be harsh or strict, and or the opposite of that, the person is strict imminent situation that necessitates him to be lenient with regards to it. This is the ma'uidat that is not good.
بمعنى,
in other words,
أن الأمر اليسير لا تغلظ فيه.
The Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala stated that that affair which is an easy affair, a simple affair, do not be harsh or over severe or over harsh with regards to that.
والأمر العظيم,
and the great affair,
لا تتهاون فيه.
The great affair do not be negligent or lenient with regards to that.
مثال.
Example.
شخص فعل شرك.
An individual, he commits associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He commits shirk.
كيف أنكر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على من وقع في الشرك؟
How did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم admonish the individual who fell into a manifestation of shirk?
الله أكبر إنها السنن قلتم الذي نفسي بيده كما قال قوم موسى اجعل لنا إلها كما لهم آلهة وأغلظ في ذلك وأنكر. والرجل الذي قال ما شاء الله وشئت قال بل ما شاء الله وحده أجعلتني لله ندا كان في ذلك يمارس مع ذلك المنكر حجما. أو شخص تراه يزني ماذا تقول له؟ الله يحمانا وإياكم, هذا أمر خطير بعد الشرك وقتل النفوس. أيضا إنكار هذه الأشياء لا يكون تتلطف مع مثل هذا الذي يا أخي هذا ما يصلح, هذا أمر آخر. شخص شرب بشماله إنكارك عليه غير شخص تجده يعبد غير الله أو يذبح لغير الله. فتجد بعض الناس يشد فيما ينبغي فيه اللين والحكمة ويتهاون فيما حقه الإنكار بشدة حتى يشعر الواقع في المنكر أنه أمره ليس باليسير, مع أنها كلها ليست في حق الله سهلة. والشرك أعظم ذنب عصي الله به. الشاهد الموعظة الحسنة ضدها الموعظة غير الحسنة. مطلق راح الماء جاب الماء. نعم.
الشيخ عبد الله تعالى يقول ذلك من أهم المثالين. And the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to how he admonished, the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala stated that if you saw an individual, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw an individual or he heard this statement of shirk, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was his response? He said, Allahu Akbar, verily this is the path that was traversed for, like the Jews with regards to Musa. And then he mentioned the ayah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you could see the severity in his face and the intonation of his sound and making his inkar. Also the person who said, MashaAllah, washit, Allah has will, and so have you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he admonished this individual, and he was severe with regards to this. He said, have you made me a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the Shaykh Habibullah ta'ala stated that this is exemplified of using severity or harsh statements in a situation that deems the individual to be harsh, which is different from the inkar or the rebuking that you would do if a person drank with his left hand. So if a person commits shirk, or he has done something like fornication or adultery, which after shirk and after the killing of the unlawful killing of someone, this is a very major sin. The Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala stated that you wouldn't just go to this person and say, ya akhi, this is not befitting. Rather, your inkar should match the severity of the sin that that individual committed. And the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala gave a situation of when the individual drinks with his left hand, this is something that is a slight affair. It's not one that requires an individual to be harsh with regards to. And the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala reiterated the fact that those situations which deem an individual to be harsh, yani the individual is harsh. Those situations which deem the individual to be light, then the individual is light or lean with regards to, or not as severe with regards to. This is
hikmah.
وقال رحمه الله تعالى وعن أبي وائل شقيق بن سلمة رضي الله عنه قال كان ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه يذكرنا في كل خميس مرة فقال له رجل يا أبا عبد الرحمن لو وجدت أنك ذكرتنا كل يوم فقال أما إنه يمنعني من ذلك أني أكره أن أملكم وإني أتخولكم بالموعظة كما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يتخولنا كما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يتخولنا بها مخافة السآمة علينا. متفق عليه.
هدي نبوي.
This is prophetic wisdom, prophetic guidance.
قال كان يعظ يذكرنا كل خميس يعني مرة في الأسبوع.
Here it says that Ibn Mas'ud used to give them an admonishment one time per week.
بعض الناس تجده يكرر موعظته ويرددها في مجلس واحد أكثر من مرة، وهذا خلاف السنة. السنة التخول بالموعظة، التخول يتخولنا بالموعظة يعني ما معناها؟ يعني بين فترة وأخرى، يعني يتعاهدنا، فيه فاصل زمني. بعض الناس يمارس الدعوة بغير هدي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، هذا ليس من الحكمة.
الشيخ عبد الله تعالى saying that with regards to this mawida, the fact that Ibn Mas'ud used to give them admonition once a week, the Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala stated that there are some people in one gathering, the person will repeat his admonition more than once. And this is in opposition to the prophetic guidance. As we know here in this hadith, that Ibn Mas'ud used to get admonished them from time to time. And the Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala explained this word, يَتَخَوَّلُنَا, meaning that it would be from time to time, meaning that there would be some passage of time or a period of time between admonitions.
مع أن شقيق ابن سلمة يقول نحن نطلب منه، يعني هناك رغبة من المستمعين له أن يعظهم، أن يحدث عليهم، إلا أنه يريد أن تكون كل أسبوع مرة مخافة السآمة.
Despite the fact that the narrator of this hadith,
يعني الملل، السآمة يعني الملل، تملون. No.
Despite the fact that the narrator of this hadith stated that we wanted Ibn Mas'ud to admonish us every day. Despite this fact, Ibn Mas'ud used to do it once a week. And the Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala, as well as mentioned in this hadith, it was done or it was avoided to give admonition every day out of fear that the people will experience boredom.
من حكمة الله عز وجل.
And from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
أن صلاة الجمعة مرة في الأسبوع.
That صلاة الجمعة is once a week.
ومع ذلك انظر ماذا لها في النفس.
And despite this fact, look at the effect that it has, the residual effect that it has upon the soul.
وباعث الرغبة بالإنصات للخطيب واستماع موعظته.
And the fact that the individual looks to or wants to hear the admonition and the advice of the khatib.
الشارع الخطيب شرع ما هو خير لنا فنقتدي بذلك خير لنا.
And the wisdom of the Sharia, يعني this has been legislated for us and it is incumbent upon us to follow it because it has been legislated for us due to the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in legislating it for us.
نعم.
وقال رحمه الله تعالى وعن عمار بن ياسر رضي الله عنهما قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن طول صلاة الرجل وقصر خطبته مئنة من فقه فأطيل الصلاة وأقصر الخطبة رواه مسلم.
يا ريت خطبانا اليوم يسمعون هالحديث.
الشيخ حبيب الله تعالى stated that it would be nice if the ones who give the khutbah nowadays knew this hadith.
يعني حضرنا عند علمانا أجلاء وعلم وغزارة يستطيع أن يتكلم زمن طويل إلا أننا وجدناهم يختصرون، يعني قلة. أحيانا تجد الخطبة كاملة الأولى والثانية ما تصل 12-13 دقيقة، مش فيها آيات وفيها أحاديث وفيها من أقوال الصحابة وفيها من كلمات السلف الصالح والعلماء، الشيء الكثير على اختصارها، قليل كلامه فيها، وتجدها في أحكام، في آداب، في أخلاق، في طهارة، في صلاة، في زكاة، في أمور ديننا. نعم.
الشيخ عبد الله تعالى stated that he personally went to different or attended different khutbas of the ulama, and despite the fact that these ulama, they had an abundance of knowledge and they were able to speak for hours on end. Despite this fact, you find the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala stated that the first khutbah and the second khutbah combined wouldn't be longer than 13 or 14 minutes. Yet in that khutbah, you find verses from the Book of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, prophetic hadith from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, statements of the Salaf al-Saleh, statements from the ulama, and the actual speech of that person giving that khutbah, no speech from him, just those statements. And despite this fact, the Shaykh Abdullah Ta'ala stated that it dealt with an abundance of issues, whether it be ahkam related to tahara or prayer or fasting, or whether it be a mu'idah or an admonition, all of these affairs. Despite this fact, it was only 13 or 14 minutes.
ادخل على اليوتيوب.
الشيخ عبد الله تعالى استند
واكتب
يوتيوب
خطبة الشيخ عبد العزيز بن صالح الشيخ الخليفي الشيخ بن سبيل الخياط تجد كلام متين مختصر مبارك. في خطبة واحدة هي اللي موجودة لابن إبراهيم كل الصلاة ما جات يمكن حدود 9 دقائق الله يرحمه يرحمهم جميعا. واليوم تجد بعض الخطباء نسخة من إذاعة الأخبار الله يهدينا وياه.
الشيخ عبد الله تعالى said that all of you can go to YouTube and enter to YouTube خطبة up and the Shaykh عبد الله تعالى mentioned different علماء
خياط
ابن خياط عصر خليفي
عبد العزيز بن صالح إمام
المسجد النبوي عبد العزيز بن صالح عصر the previous Mufti, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Ibrahim.
Ibn Salih, Amma al-Masjid al-Nabawi, يمكن 50 سنة.
The Sheikh Habibullah Ta'ala stated that this fellow, Abdul Aziz ibn Salih, he was an Imam in the prophetic, the Prophet's Masjid for more than 50 years, 50 or some odd years. The Sheikh Habibullah Ta'ala stated that you can listen to their khutbahs and see how short they were, despite the fact that it was
Sheikh ibn Uthaymeen.
Sheikh
ibn Uthaymeen. شوف كتاب الخطب اللوامع والجوامع هكذا له كتاب. شوف الخطب اللي فيه كم ما شاء الله.
أتمنى
من خطبانا يستفيدون من علمانا بطريقتهم في الخطبة وأن لا تكون الخطبة عبارة عن نشرة أخبار. وبالعكس صاحب الأخبار يذكر ويحلل، لكن هؤلاء حتى تحليلهم مو مبني على معرفة سياسية، مبني على حماس. هذا غلط، لا تشغلون الناس فيما ليس لهم فيه قدرة. علم الناس دين الله عز وجل، هذا الواجب على الخطيب إذا اعتلى المنبر، فالناس تسمع لك وجوبا، إصغاء الناس لك وجوبا، حتى لو مس شيء لغى، لو كلم همس من جواره لغى، فاستماعه لك بأمر الشرع، فأسمعه ما ينفع، أسمعه ما ينفع يا الله المستعان.
The Shaykh of Allah Ta'ala stated that you can find the book of Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, which has his different khutbas that he gave, and you can look for yourself and see how short they were. And the Shaykh of Allah Ta'ala stated that this is different from the condition of many of the khatibs of today, whereby their khutbah is a news report. And the Shaykh of Allah Ta'ala stated that the person giving the khatib, that this is an immense or a very great responsibility, and that the person needs to keep this in mind, that those listening to him, this is an obligation upon them to listen to what he has to say. So much so that it comes in the hadith that the Prophet said that the person who speaks or the person who prays with so much as a stone, this person has done an idol action or an idol, has committed idol speech. The Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala stated that the khatib, the one who is giving the khutbah, should bear this in mind, that it is an obligation for the individuals to listen to him and listen to what he has to say. Therefore, this individual should teach them the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, teach them that which benefits them and not involves himself in a news report or political affairs, those affairs that he has no knowledge of, and that his analysis of these political affairs is probably more than likely outright wrong, and he's giving the people that which they have no power over or they have no knowledge of. The Shaykh Abdullah Ta'ala stated that what is obligatory upon these individuals given the khutbah is that they teach the people the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وهذا دليل على فقهه.
And the last part of this hadith is that the individual, the brevity of his khutbah, this is proof of the individual's understanding his fiqh and the religion. وقال رحمه الله تعالى وعن معاوية بن الحكم السلمي رضي الله عنه قال بين أنا أصلي مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا عطس رجل من القوم فقلت يرحمك الله فرمى للقوم بأبصارهم فقلت واتق لا المياه ما شأنكم تنظرون إليه فجعلوا يضربون بأيديهم على أفخاذهم فلما رأيتهم يصمتونني لكني سكت فلما صلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بأبيه هو وأمي ورأيت معلما قبله ولا بعده أحسن تعليما منه فوالله ما كهرني وما ولا ضربني ولا شتمني قال إن هذه الصلاة لا يصلح فيها شيء من كلام الناس إنما هي التسبيح والتكبير وقراءة القرآن أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قلت يا رسول الله إني حديث عهد بالجاهلية وقد جاء الله بالإسلام وإن منا رجالا يأتون الكهان قال فلا تأتيهم قلت ومنا رجال يتطيرون قال ذاك شيء يجبونه في صدورهم فلا يسدنهم رواه مسلم
قال حادثة ووصف يصف به موقف له.
The Sheikh Abdul Allah Ta'ala stated that the narrator of this hadith is explaining a situation that actually happened to him.
كم مسلم؟
He was a Muslim.
توه داخل الإسلام. يعرف أنه إذا عطس واحد يقول له يرحمك الله.
He's a new Muslim and he understood that if a person sneezes, the response is, you say, يرحمك الله.
صلى.
And they were praying.
واحد عطس.
A person sneezes.
قال يرحمك الله.
He said, يرحمك الله.
ما علم أن الكلام في الصلاة ممنوع.
He did not know that it was
كان في بداية الإسلام نسخ.
He didn't know that it was impermissible for him to speak during the prayer. And the Shaykh Abid Allah Ta'ala stated that when the prayer first became an obligation, it was permissible to speak, but it was obligated.
أصدروا ما يبينون أنهم أنكروا عليه وكان في ذلك منهم غلظة وشدة.
The Shaykh Abid Allah Ta'ala stated that after he mentioned this during the prayer, that the companions that they were hitting their thighs so as to acknowledge that this individual has done something wrong, so as to rebuke him and the action that he did, and it was a severe rebuke.
وقال وهذك لهم يا يعني كان أصابتني في مصيبة أنا. هذه كلمة يقولها العرب في الأمر الشديد عندما لا يعرف أو يصيبه ما يضايقه يقول ذلك.
And the Shaykh Abid Allah Ta'ala stated that his response, what he said, it was a statement that the Arabs used to say if they were faced with a calamity, something that they didn't know, they were faced with a calamity. This is the response that they said. And this is what he said upon seeing them beating their thighs or hitting their thighs so as to rebuke him.
قال فما يقول سكت أنا سكت خلاص أما أنا حاس إني مسوي غلط بس وش الغلط ما أدري بس إني سكت صمت فلما انتهى الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم من الصلاة قال لا كهرني لا ضربني لا شتمني إنما قال هذه الصلاة ما يصح فيها شيء من الكلام إنما فيها ثم علم صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم بدأ يسأل يستزيد في العلم سأل عن الكهانة سأل عن التطير سأل عن أشياء نهض عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من هذا كله الشاهد أنها رفقة وموعظته فهذا لما قلت لكم قبل قليل الموعظة حسنة لا تشين في موضع اللين وألا تلين في موضع الشدة
The Shaykh Abid Allah Ta'ala said that upon the Sahaba hitting their thighs, this Sahabi realized that, the narrator, he realized that he was making a mistake, but he didn't know what the mistake was. But upon seeing their censoring of him, he was quiet. And then he explained how the Prophet ﷺ advised him. He said that he had saw or he hadn't seen any teacher better than the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ didn't rebuke him, didn't censure him, didn't hit him. Rather, the Prophet ﷺ taught him. He said that in this prayer, there are nothing from speech is beneficial in this prayer or permissible in this prayer except التكبير والتسبيح and the recitation of the Quran. And the Shaykh Hamidullah Ta'ala is stating that look at the leniency and the compassion that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had while advising the Sahaba. And this goes back to what the Shaykh Hamidullah Ta'ala pointed out to us, that al-maw'idat al-hasana is when you have wisdom putting things in their proper place. The fact that the Prophet ﷺ was lenient in the situation, it was because the situation deemed that. And the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala stated that again, what is wrong is that when the person is lenient in a situation that requires him to be harsh or severe, or the person is severe or harsh in a situation that requires him to be lenient in it. وقال رحمه الله تعالى وعن الإرباد بن سارية رضي الله عنه قال وعدنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم موعظة وجلت منها القلوب وذرفت منها العيون وذكر الحديث وقد سبق بكماله في باب الأمر بالمحافظة على السنة وذكرنا أن الترمذي قال إنه حديث حسن صحيح.
ترجم الحديث.
The hadith was narrated by Al-Irbad in Sariya, wherein he stated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us a very touching advice or admonishment, so much so that the hearts trembled and that their eyes teared. And then he mentioned the rest of the hadith, and this hadith was previously mentioned in the title entitled Adhering to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the author, An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that At-Tirmidhi stated that this hadith is Hasan Sahih, an authentic hadith.
قال وعظنا رسول الله موعظة في رواية بليغة.
And it comes in the narration that this admonishment was a very بليغة.
وجلت منها.
So much so that the hearts trembled from it.
القلوب وذرفت منها العيون.
And that their eyes teared from it.
الصحابي يقول وعظنا. من الواعظ؟
The companion, he stated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam admonished us or advised us, and then the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala is saying, you have this mu'idha and you have this advice. Who's giving the advice or the admonishment?
Al-wa'idh Rasulullah.
The one giving the admonishment or the advice was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Wal-maw'ud al-sahab.
And those being advised were the companions.
Wal-maw'idha.
And you have this admonishment or this advice.
إذن لابد أن تكون الموعظة سائرة في خطى المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم على هذه النبوة.
The Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala stated that what is derived from this is that the admonishment or the advice, it must be in agreement with the advice and the admonishment or the guidance of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
لا وعظ بالقصص.
Not an admonishment by recanting stories.
والخرافات.
Or fables,
والخزعبلات,
or tales,
والمنامات,
or dreams,
والأحداث,
or certain situations that have happened,
وقيل وقال.
And he said, she said,
أعظم موعظة القرآن وصحيح السنة.
The موعظة should be based on that, or should comprise of the Quran and authentic hadith from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
الموعظ الصحابة.
And those who were being advised were the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
فماذا يدل عليه؟
And what does this exemplify or prove or illustrate?
ليس أحد يستغني عن الموعظة.
What that is illustrates is that there is nobody who is free of needing an admonishment or advice.
ولذلك لا تقول نحن الحمد لله ما نحتاج. شوف ناس ثانيين نعظهم.
Like due to this, right, the person should say. We are in a good situation. We don't need to be advised or admonished. See somebody else. Give it to somebody else.
أو شخص يقول الحمد لله هذا أنت جاي تعظ لك ناس صالحين مطاوعة رح شوف لك ناس يحتاجون موعظة كلنا يحتاج موعظة.
Or a person says you're looking at religious people or people who are upon a righteousness. Go look for somebody else. We're not in need of this. The Shaykh Abdullah Ta'ala said that all of us are not being admonished or advised.
فلا تجعل نفسك بعيد عن ذلك.
So don't make yourself far from being admonished or far from this.
كلنا نحتاج الموعظة.
All of us need this admonishment or advice.
نعم.
وقال رحمه الله تعالى باب الوقار والسكينة. قال الله تعالى وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما. وعن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مستجمع القط ضاحكا حتى ترى منه لهواته إنما كان يتبسم. متفق عليه.
ترجمة.
The author mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى, the chapter of وقار, having respect or carrying oneself in a dignified manner and sakina, tranquility. And he mentioned the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the servants of the Rahman, they are those who traverse upon the earth in a humble manner. And if an ignorant person speaks to them or says something to them, they say, their response is salama. And then the author brought the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. She stated that I had not seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mustajmi'an. I had not seen him in a manner whereby he laughed so much so that his lahawat showed. Rather, he used to smile. And then the author explained what this lahawat means. It means that it was the flesh in the upper part of the mouth. Meaning that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he laughed, he would smile and not open his mouth so much so that this part of his mouth, the inner part of his mouth, or the roof of his mouth appeared.
What is that, Dick? الوقار والسكينة.
And due to this fact, this waqar, this dignity and sakina or tranquility,
صفات أهل الإيمان.
They are the qualities of the people of Iman.
وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما. سماتهم الوقار, سماتهم الهدوء, سماتهم السمت الحسن, لا أن يكون ذا خفة, إنما يعلوه الوقار ويعلوه السم, جانب الابتسامة يبتسم. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كانت ترى أسنانه ويعرف تبسمه في وجهه, ولم يكن هدية صلى الله عليه وسلم القهقهة في الضحك ويصل به إلى حد الاستلقاء, بل كان يقول لو تعلمون ما أعلم لضحكتم قليلا ولبكيتم كثيرا.
The Shaykh Habib Omar Ta'ala stated that this is from this tranquility and this carrying oneself in a dignified manner, that this is from the characteristics of the people of Iman. And then the Shaykh Habib Omar Ta'ala reminded us of this verse, the fact that this is a quality of the servants of Ar-Rahman, that they traverse upon the earth in a dignified manner, in a humble manner, and if they're ignorant, say something to them, their response is salama, they give salams. And the Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala stated that this is the quality of the people of Iman, that they carry themselves in a dignified manner, and they carry themselves, and they are tranquil. They are not people who are characterized by khifa or being flighty. Rather, these people are dignified, the people of Iman are dignified, and they carry themselves in the best possible manner. They are tranquil, and they carry themselves with hudu or calmness. And the Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala mentioned the hadith of Aisha, that the Prophet when he smiled, that he would smile and sometimes his teeth would show. The Prophet ﷺ was not characterized by this qahqaha or extreme laughter to the extent that he would fall out laughing. Rather, the Prophet ﷺ carried himself in a dignified manner, and the people that followed the Prophet ﷺ traversed the same path.
الباب اللي بعده.
وقال رحمه الله تعالى باب الندب إلى إتيان الصلاة والعلم ونحوهما من العبادات بالسكينة والوقار,
أي بالهدوء والوقار والسكينة.
Meaning that the individual is calm and he carries himself to these places of ibadah, these places of worship, in a calm, humble, tranquil and dignified manner. قال الله تعالى ومن يعظم شعائر الله فإنها من تقوى القلوب. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إذا أقيمت الصلاة فلا تأتوها تسعون وأتوها تمشون عليكم السكينة فما أدركتم فصلوا وما فاتكم فأتموا. متفق عليه. زاد مسلم في رواية له فإن أحدكم إذا كان يعمد إلى الصلاة فهو في صلاة.
نعم.
وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أنه دفع مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
يعني هذا دليل تعظيمك للصلاة أنك لا تأتي تسعى تجري تهلول, فلما تأتي بالصلاة تجمع أنفاسك وأنت لا تدري ماذا قرأ الإمام وماذا ستقرأ وماذا. امشوا عليكم السكينة فما أدركتم فصلوا وما فاتكم فقضوا. وهذا فيه تنبيه للإنسان إذا أتى الصلاة أنه يصلي على الحال الذي الإمام عليها. بعض الناس اليوم إذا وجد الإمام في السجدة انتظر حتى يقوم الإمام، اسجد الحال التي هو عليها، اسجد يمكن السجدة هذه التي يرفعك الله بها وأعظم ما يكون في الصلاة السجود، أقرب ما يكون العبد من الله في السجود. نعم
الشيخ عبد الله تعالى استني ذات your what is mentioned in this verse, your glorification or your exalting and your reverence that you have for these affairs of ibadah, it is exemplified in the manner that you approach these forms of worship, and your exalting the prayer or revering the prayer, it is exemplified by how you approach the prayer. That if the individual, if he comes to the prayer running, and the Prophet ﷺ prohibited us from that, if he comes to the prayer running, the person comes to the prayer and he's breathing very heavily due to the fact that he ran to get to the prayer, so much so that he's trying to catch his breath, and he's in a manner whereby he doesn't have any recollection of what the imam read, nor does he have any focus of the prayer, simply because he has approached it in a manner that the Prophet ﷺ forbade us from doing. Rather, the Prophet ﷺ said that when you approach that prayer, you are to be calm, tranquil, and you are to walk and not run. And then the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala, he stated that doing this is in the manner of walking to the prayer, is from the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala mentioned,
أنت في صلاة وأنت ذاهب إلى الصلاة.
الشيخ عبد الله تعالى
مثل هذه. لعلها تلك السجدة التي يرفعك الله بها.
الشيخ
أقرب ما يكون العبد من الله وهو ساجد.
الشيخ عبد الله تعالى مثل a mistake that many people commit today. And what they do? They come to the masjid and they see that the imam is making sajda. The Shaykh Habibullah تعالى stated that it is from the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that the individual he does what the imam is in, whatever position the imam is in, the person. He does what the imam is doing. So for example, if the person comes to the prayer and the imam is in sajda, he doesn't just sit there and wait. Rather, he goes into sajda. And the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala stated that you don't know that this sajda, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may raise you with this one sajda. And it comes in that authentic hadith that the closest that the individual is to his Lord is when he is in the prostration.
Tanbih.
And the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala wants to bring something else to our attention.
بعض الناس إذا دخل المسجد والإمام في الركوع تجده يجري.
The Shaykh Abu Dawood Ta'ala stated that another mistake that people make if they come into the masjid and the imam is in a ruku' that they run to the prayer.
أو تجد بعضهم يقول.
Or the individual makes this coughing sound so as to alert the imam.
أو يقول بسم الله ما شاء الله ما شاء الله. أو إذا معه مفاتيح يعني يشعر الإمام إني أنا ساعتي انتظرني.
The individual, he does these things so as to let the imam know that, look, I'm here, I want to kiss the rukur. The rukur, and the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala said, no.
أو يجري ويضرب أقدامه في الأرض ليشعر الإمام أن هناك جماعة خلفك سوف تأتي إليك، خاصة إذا كانت أرضية المسجد بعد خشب بورتبل خلاص.
And the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala said that the person run heavy footed. And the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala stated that in some, for example, a portable masjid that they have like wooden floors, so it makes a very loud sound. But the individual does this so as to alert the imam that there's a jama'ah or there is a group of people who want to catch the rukur, so wait for us. The Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala stated that this is incorrect.
زادك الله حرصا ولا تعد لا تفعلها مرة ثانية.
Like the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم stated, he said, يعني may Allah increase you in your keenness, but don't do it again.
من يعرف قصة هذا الحديث؟ زادك الله حرصا ولا تعب.
And do you know the story of this hadith?
ممتاز. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. ما شاء الله. أقول لكم عارفينه. إذا ما يحتاج أذكره. هذا حديث أبي بكر.
This is the hadith of Abu Bakr.
هذا الصحابي كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم راكع.
This companion, he came to the prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in a state of ruku'.
فدخل المسجد.
And he entered. The Sahabi entered into the masjid.
فلما دخل المسجد وإذا برسول الله راكع.
And when he entered into the masjid, he found that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was in the position of ركوع.
قال وهو يمشي الله أكبر ثم سجد ويمشي يمشي 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 حتى أدرك الجماعة.
So what this Sahabi did is that when he entered into the masjid and he saw that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was like this, he made takbir, then he put himself in the position of ruku' and he walked while he was in the ruku' so as to catch the rope.
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم آتاه الله معجزة.
And the Shaykh حفظه الله تعالى is reminding us that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he was given a معجزة.
وهي أنه يريه الله في صلاته من خلفه.
And this miracle was that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was given the ability that he would see those behind him while he was praying.
فقال له زادك الله حرصا ولا تعد.
And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated to this companion, he said, may Allah increase you in your keenness, but do not do it again. No. Do not return to it.
وعن ابن عباس
وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال أنه دفع مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم عرفة فسمع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وراءه زجرا شديدا وضربا وصوتا للإبل فأشار بصوته إليهم وقال أيها الناس عليكم بالسكينة فإن البر ليس بالإيضاع رواه البخاري وروى مسلم بعضه
يعني عليكم بالهدوء ليس في الإسراع ما يوافق البر فهذا في عبادة في الحج السكينة
The Shaykh Abdullah Zahir is saying that when the companion mentioned that despite the fact that they were involved in an affair of worship they were involved in the rites of Hajj The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised them to be calm and tranquil, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that righteousness is not in israr or hastiness or rushing or expediting things. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised them to be tranquil and calm.
طيب الله عز وجل يقول وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم.
The Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala said, okay, how do we understand in light of this statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whereby Allah states وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ Rush to or be hasty and seeking the forgiveness of your Lord.
Thank you when you said how we understand this. يعني كأن ما أوردت التعارض سبقتني. شكرا لك. ماذا حصل؟
What happened?
لماذا؟ لماذا قلنا؟ وعجلت إليك ربي لترضى.
And I have hastened to you, my Lord. The verse, the meaning of, I have hastened to you, O Lord, so that you are pleased with me.
هذا في معنى المبادرة.
The Shaykh Abu Dawud Ta'ala stated that these words here, they what is meant not to be hasty in doing the action, but what is meant is مبادرة, meaning that the individual is.
على الفور.
The individual does it immediately. He immediately does these actions which are pleasing to his Lord.
وهذا في العبادات أن يكون فيها على الفور لا على التراخي في ما حل وقتها وتحقق شرطها.
And the Shaykh Abu Dawud Ta'ala is mentioning an Usuli principle that this is the concept of al-fawr that those things that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has commanded us with, if the conditions are met, then the individual he does them immediately.
عجيب.
وقال رحمه الله تعالى باب إكرام الضيف قال الله تعالى هل أتاك حديث ضيف إبراهيم المكرمين إذ دخلوا عليه فقالوا سلاما قال سلام قوم منكرون فراغ إلى أهله فجاء بعجل سمين فقربه إليهم قال ألا
تأكل جاهز ولا يكون ختام للدرس جاهز ولا ننتظر شوي جاهزين ربعك؟ طيب بسم الله
فراغ
أتاك حديث ضيف إبراهيم المكرمين
فراغ إلى أهله فجاء بعجل سمين فقربه إليهم قال ألا تأكلون وقال تعالى وجاءه قومه يهرعون إليه ومن قبل كانوا يعملون السيئات قال يا قوم هؤلاء بناتي هن أطهر لكم فاتقوا الله ولا تخزوني في ضيفي
هل إبراهيم استشار الملائكة في الضيافة؟
The Shaykh Abdullah Ta'ala stated that Ibrahim consulted with the angels before hosting them.
ليس من الأدب عرفا ولا شرعا أن تستشير الضيف أكرمك ولا ما أكرمك؟
The Shaykh Abdullah Ta'ala stated that it is not from good manners whether they be with regards to customs or with regards to the Sharia, the Islamic legislation, that the individual, that the host, that he consults with his guest brother, this individual is hospitable and generous with them.
هذا إبراهيم عليه السلام.
This is Ibrahim عليه السلام.
والأنبياء كلهم كرماء ليس في الأنبياء بخيل.
The Sheikh Abdullah Ta'ala stated that this is the story of Ibrahim, and he was a prophet from the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all of the prophets were generous and hospitable, and they weren't misers.
والكرم من كمالات الخلق.
And being generous is from the completion of one's character.
وفرق بين الكرم.
And there's a difference between being generous
والإسراف.
And israf, or being a spendthrift.
والكرم والبخل.
And the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala stated that there is karam, generosity, and bukhl, miserliness or stinginess.
حقيقة الكرم.
And the reality of karam or generosity.
أن يجود بالموجود.
Is that the individual is generous with that which he has.
ولا يتكلف المفقود.
And that the individual doesn't overburden himself with things that he doesn't have.
هذه قدرتي ما أستطيع أن أطعمك.
This is what I have, and this is what I'm able to present to you. This is generosity.
بل لما أتى ضيف لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
when a guest came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم
فأخذه أحد الصحابة فقال ضيفك ضيفي يا رسول الله
and one of the companions he said to the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم he said that your guest is my guest or رسول الله
فوضع الطعام
and this individual placed the food
وأطفأ السراج
and that this individual when he had the guest that he placed the food in front of the guest and he turned out the lights
وأشعروه أنهم يأكلون معه
And he made it
وليس طعامهم إلا قليل.
And due to the smallness or to the littleness or the smallness of what was actually there, this individual turned on the lights and he made it as if he made the guests feel that the others were eating with him, but actually the guest was the only one who was eating.
فأخبر الله نبيه وحي.
And Allah revealed
إن الله عجب عجبا صنيعهما بضيفهم.
That Allah سبحانه وتعالى was.
هذا والله كرم.
That was pleased with. What the host did with his guest.
أما أن تملأ المواعيد وترمى في الزبائن هذا إسراف ليس كرم.
But the Shaykh Abdullah Ta'ala stated, having an overabundance of food for your guests, so much so that the majority of it is thrown in the trash, that this is not considered generosity, rather this is إسراف or being a spendthrift.
فمن عنا إليك له حق عليك.
And the Shaykh Abdullah Ta'ala stated that whoever is a guest with you, he has a right upon you.
حديث من كان يوما.
عن ذي عثر رحمه الله تعالى منشن عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم ضيفه ومن كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليصلق رحمه ومن كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقول خيرا أو ليصمت متفق عليه. وعن أبي شريح خويلد بن عمرو الخزاعي رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم ضيفه جائزته قالوا وما جائزته يا رسول الله قال يومه وليلته والضيافة ثلاثة أيام فما كان وراء ذلك فهو صدقة عليه متفق عليه وفي رواية لا يحل لمسلم أن يقيم عند أخيه حتى يؤثمه قالوا يا رسول الله وكيف يؤثمه قال يقيم عنده ولا شيء له يقريه به
يعني إذا أولا واجب الضيافة من الجائزة التي هي أوجب الواجب يوم وليلة
الشيخ حبيب الله تعالى stated that with regards to the guest what is obligatory upon the host is that he hosts this guest one day and one night
تمام الضيافة ثلاثة أيام
and at the completion of this 3 days
إن زادت فهذه صدقة منك
and if the individual the host
صدقة وإحسان أما الأولى واجب من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر يكرم ضيفه حق الإكرام ثلاثة أيام بعدها هذا جانب تصدق منك وإحسان
الشيخ أبي الله تعالى stated that anything longer than 3 days that this is considered صدقة and considered being generous or charity for that guest and the Shaykh Abi Allah Ta'ala mentioned what is obligatory is one day and one night
لكن إذا علمت أنه ليس عنده شيء لا تؤثمه أن يقع في الإثم بعدم قيامه بحقك لأنه لا يجد شيء
But if you know that the host doesn't have anything, then don't make him يعني fall into sin, meaning that you overstay, knowing that this individual doesn't have what he needs in order to host as a guest.
عند عامتنا يقولون حنة حنة ولذلك بعضهم إذا حلف عليك قال أنت حاني يقول أنا حانك من الرداء ما نبحان لك من عيون الطيب فعلا آداب التي يمارسها الناس اليوم في كثير من أمورهم مبنية على أصول شرعية، ما هي هكذا، على آداب مرعية. فإكرام الضيف واجب، فإياك أن تبخل في حق ضيفك أو تتعمد عدم إكرامه.
The Sheikh of Allah Ta'ala is saying that is mentioned by a colloquial statement that is mentioned by the common people here. And the Sheikh of Allah Ta'ala stated that this statement is based upon Sharia principles, like what is based upon this hadith. And the Sheikh of Allah Ta'ala stated that it is obligatory upon the host to be generous or to host his guests.
ختام هذا المجلس هذا الحديث والدرس القادم اعتذر منكم، فهناك عقد قران لأبنائي اثنين في الإمارات، ما بيكم تجون لكن بيكم تدعون لهم. صلى الله يوفقنا وإياكم بالله التوفيق، وصلى الله وسلم على محمد. المسافة عليكم بعيدة.
The Sheikh of Allah Ta'ala stated that this is the last hadith that we will take tonight. And the Sheikh of Allah Ta'ala stated that next week there will not be a lesson as two of the Sheikh's children, sons, are getting married. And the Sheikh of Allah Ta'ala stated that he does not want you to come as the distance is quite far. Rather, the Sheikh of Allah Ta'ala stated to supplicate and make dua for them. And the Sheikh of Allah Ta'ala again excuses himself from all of the lessons next week.
الجمعة والسبت والأحد توقف الدروس.
يعني Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And the Sheikh Abdul Rahman Ta'ala concludes tonight's lesson by sending prayers and salutations on the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم.
وجماعة المسجد يدعونكم على الضيافة، حياكم الله جميعا.
And like it's customary, the brothers from the masjid, they're all inviting you all, coffee and tea and sweets.
تفضل ما تروحون.
All of you, the Sheikh Abdul Rahman Ta'ala stated that all of you are welcome, don't leave before partaking in the coffee and tea and sweets.
ضيقين على كذا شوي، وش اسوي بهم؟ متعمدين يبون يضيقون علي.